Blog Talk Radio.
You are my protector, and you are my provider, and my deliverer. There's no other help I know. You are my protector, and you are my provider, and my deliverer. There's no other help I know.
Good News Media Productions presents What a Word from the Lord. Your host this evening will be Stevie R. Butler. This show is dedicated to spreading the truth of God's Word, rightly dividing the Word of Truth. Feel free to call us live at 713-955-0508. If you'd like to email us your questions or comments or concerns, you can email us at goodnewsmediaproductions@gmail.com. You can also call our business line at 336-525-5843. Now, this show is brought to you by loving, faithful members of Churches of Christ around the world. If you need help finding a local congregation, please email or call us, and we would be more than willing and happy to assist you. Again, take out your Bibles and follow along, because you're listening to What a Word from the Lord.
Y'all in the world listening to this radio broadcast, Good News Media Productions. Good News Media Productions presents What a Word from the Lord. I'm your host, Stevie R. Butler, and this radio show is being broadcast from the Carolina Man Cave Studio in the great state of North Carolina. Ladies and gentlemen, before you retire for the night, I just want to give you a word from the Lord. Let us pray and thank God. for this opportunity. Our most kind, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for blessing us to go through the various activities of the day and placing it on my heart at this moment in time in my life that I'm on this broadcast presenting another portion of your holy and divine word. Father, we pray that your word will go forth even on tonight and produce that which is good, that in all things, Father, you are glorified. We pray that you would be with our listeners tonight, and we pray that this message will be beneficial to their edification and spiritual growth. We pray that you will forgive us for the transgressions of our own heart, for we recognize as long as we're in the flesh, we will often fall short of thy will. We thank you so much for Jesus and his great sacrifice, for without such a sacrifice, we would not even have a hope of eternal life. We pray that you would continue to bless us and love us all the days of our lives and keep us in Christ's name. We do ask it all. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have your Bibles handy tonight, I would like to take a lesson from Acts chapter 27, verses 13 through 44. I know that is a pretty lengthy reading, but it's a necessary reading to get the understanding of this lesson. But before I read that text, I would like for you to look at Acts chapter 26 and verse 31 and 32, because this is going to set us up for what we're going to be talking about in our lesson tonight. In this text in Acts 26, the Apostle Paul has been taken before King Agrippa, and he's finishing up with King Agrippa now, and he says in verse 27 of that text, he says, King Agrippa, thou believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. And then he says in verse 28, King then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuaded me to be a Christian. And that's some good teaching right there in and of itself. But that's not what we're talking about on tonight. So drop down to verse 31. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, this man does nothing worthy of death or of bonds. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. And because of Paul's appeal to Caesar, now we're going on into what's happening next with his journey to go to Italy, beginning in verse 1 of Acts 27. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. I'll drop down, if you will, to verse 10. And said unto them, sirs, this is Paul talking, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of the ship, but also of our lives. Now drop down to verse 13, and this is our lesson text for tonight. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euryclidon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up unto the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Claudus, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used help undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, straight sails, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay upon us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. Verse 22. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God has given thee all them that sail with thee. Verse 25, Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, and as we were driven up and down in Adrius, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 furlongs. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again, and found it 15 furlongs. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under colors as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, This day is the 14th day that we have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you. 35. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were in all in the ship 216 souls. That's 276. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore into that which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves into the sea and loosed the rubber bands and hoist unto the main sails to the wind, and made towards shore. Verse 41. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the fourth part struck fast and remained unmovable. But the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves, and the soldiers' counsel was kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some of the boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to the land. Ladies and gentlemen, on this evening, I'd like to discuss a lesson from the subject, the God of all comfort. The God of all comfort. Euroclydon is what the King James translation calls it. Other translations have named it Euroquilo, or the Northeaster. They were caught for over 2 weeks in an unrelenting Mediterranean storm. hurricane like winds moving from every direction made it impossible to guide the ship. Every effort was made to keep from sinking. Valuable cargo was jettisoned. Even the rigging of the ship was thrown away. Day after day, there was neither sun nor stars, and in the darkness, all hope of survival was gone. Only one man on board this ship, absolute confidence in their survival. And it was a prison ship, and Paul, the Apostle Paul, was himself a prisoner on this ship. But when all of the rest were given up in despair, it was the Apostle Paul who stood before them to declare that he had been given assurance from the God of heaven. The angel of the Lord promised that not a single one of the 276 on board would be lost. Wherefore, sirs, Paul would say, be of good cheer, for I believe God. Acts 27 and verse 25. So the troubles come, and that's what we want to deal with now. Troubles come, ladies and gentlemen. Storms come into everyone's life. Most of the time, most people enjoy living. There are some whose lives have come to such pain and despondency that they dread living and crave dying. Amen. For most, however, life is a cherished thing. Solomon observed that it's good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 18. The best life is in living as a Christian. For he that will love life and see good days, Peter would say, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they might speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. Yet even into the happiness and most faithful life, sometimes trouble comes. Amen. Regardless of what has been up till now, if we continue for long, there may be troubles more dreadful than we might ever have imagined. David spoke of going through the valley of the shadow of death. He meant not just the time of dying, but also anything that brings suffering and sorrow. Even Job had enjoyed a wonderful life. But then the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, Job would say in Job chapter 3 and verse 25. This is not to borrow trouble or to dread the future, but it's to remind that, like David, we need a shepherd to lead us into whatever dark valleys we are forced to succumb to. Suffering, ladies and gentlemen, is a primary theme of 2 Corinthians. The book of 2 Corinthians opens with the need for comfort. All of humanity has its tribulations. For members of the church in Corinth, there were things they would have to endure because they were followers of Christ. When trouble comes, even unbelievers might wonder, why is this happening to me? A Christian might ask, why do bad things happen to faithful Christians? By recalling the things he had himself suffered, the Apostle Paul could assure them of his sympathy and that they are not the only ones who had had to endure adversity. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren. Paul says, of our trouble which came unto us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8. One needs only to review his history to know that the Apostle Paul understood suffering and hardship. Exhaustion, Paul endured beatings. He endured imprisonment, near drownings. Paul endured being robbed, being double-crossed by brethren. Paul endured suffering, hunger, and even anxiety. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3 through 29, we can see all of these things. The one thing that sustained Paul through it all can be summed up in three-word affirmation he declared in the midst of that tempest called Euryclidon. Paul said, I believe God. Paul said, I believe God. Now let's talk about the God of all comfort. To the Corinthians, therefore, and to us, Paul would write that God, the God that he believed in, is the God of all comfort. Paul would say, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Paul would say, for as the suffering of Christ abounds in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same suffering which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 7. 10 times in 5 verses, we find the words comfort, comforts, and consolation. God comforted Paul. Paul comforted the saints. What consolation he could give to others was only because of the comfort that God had given to him. Let me give you six ways that God is the God of all comfort, and this lesson will be yours on tonight. Six ways that God is the God of all comforts. First, God is the God of all comfort because he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. No trouble we ever have should allow us to doubt the power of God to help us. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 28. The second way that God is the God of all comfort. God is the God of all comfort because his love and mercy are immeasurable. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, Ephesians 2 and verse 4. Such love passes knowledge, Paul would say in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 18. And no one can keep us from embracing that knowledge nor that love. The story is told of a farmer who had a weather vane with the words, God is love, noting the changing wind directions as, does that mean God loves is flickering? No, the farmer said. It means that no matter which way the wind blows, God is always love. That's what the Apostle Paul knew in the midst of this storm. The third way that God is the God of all comfort. God is the God of all comfort because he knows what we cannot know. Did you hear what I said? God knows what we ourselves cannot know. We can never know for sure the outcome of any life experience, good or bad. James chapter 4 and verse 15. Paul assured the Christians at Philippi that bad things can turn out to be good. Paul would say in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12, Paul would say, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. The fourth way that God is the God of all comfort. God is the God of all comfort because we can always trust in his promises. The scriptures provide for us with exceedingly great and precious promises, Peter would say in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. We can have a hope because of the patience and conscience, Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. The supreme promise is eternal life, Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. But many of God's promises pertain to our welfare in this life. In times of great distress, it may sometimes seem more likely that God will keep his promise of heaven than that he will help us through the suffering of the present. Let it be deeply remembered, however, that he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Paul would say in Romans chapter 8 and verse 33. The point is that God has promised his son. If ever we might imagine that God might fail to keep his promise, surely it might have been the promise to let his son die. If in his faithfulness and grace he kept that promise, how could it be imagined he would ever go back on his word? The fifth way that God is the God of all comfort. God is the God of all comfort because he has a wonderful family made up of brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, David once complained to God. David said, "For there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul." Psalms 142 and verse 4. In our troubles, we may feel very lonely, that no one cares or understands. Our human imperfections too often keep us from caring for one another as we should. Amen. In fact, one who feels neglected should remember that they have sometimes been neglectful themselves. Amen. Still, we have family who are willing to bear one another's burdens, to weep with those who weep. Galatians chapter 2, verse chapter 6, verse 2, and Romans chapter 12 and verse 15. And the last point that I want to give you from this lesson: God is the God of all comfort. God is the God of all comfort because nothing can overcome the love and understanding Christ has for us. Trouble and suffering are the common lot of mankind. Yet each burden seems peculiar to the one to whom it's happening. An old spiritual lament says, "Nobody knows the trouble I see." And then continues on by saying, "Nobody knows but Jesus." This is the assurance of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Can anyone list all of the bad things that might happen? How about Paul's list in Romans chapter 8? Paul lists tribulation. He lists his distress. He talked about his persecution that he endured, the famine. He talked about the nakedness, the pearls, the perils, the sword. He talked about death. He talked about folk lying on him. He talked about angels and principalities and powers. He talked about things present, things to come, height, the depth. All of these things, he says, neither created things shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Romans chapter 8 and verse 35. Paul tells these prisoners and these soldiers on this ship as they are sailing to Rome. Paul tells them in the midst of this storm, Paul says, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God." The lesson is yours. And I would like to conclude this lesson tonight with the invitation of the Lord. Because if you are not a child of God, and one cannot be a child of God until you are a Christian. That's right. That's what Paul in Acts 26 told King Agrippa before he even was being transported to Rome by this ship and caught in this storm. Paul preached the gospel to Agrippa, and he told Agrippa, "Believe thou the prophets." I know you believe, King Agrippa. And Agrippa said, Paul, you almost persuaded me to be a Christian. And that's what I'm talking about right now, ladies and gentlemen. I'm trying to persuade you. I don't know who's listening to this lesson tonight, but I need to let you know tonight before I go off the air, if you are not a child of God, and one cannot be a child of God until you are a Christian, until you have been born again, as the Bible teaches, then you need to know even tonight that you are lost outside of Christ. It's not enough to be religious. You must obey the commands of the Lord. In order for a man to be saved, even tonight, you must take heed and answer the gospel call. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14. You must hear the gospel. John chapter 6 and verse 45. Romans chapter 10 verses 14 and 17. And the facts of the gospel are the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 1 through 3. You must believe the same. James chapter 2 and verse 24. And Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently. Ladies and gentlemen, you must repent. Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, Jesus said, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you will all likewise perish. And then Paul would say in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, that God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. You must confess your faith in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. Jesus said, if you don't confess me before men, I will not confess you before my Father. And then you must be baptized in water for the remission or the forgiveness of your sins. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Acts 10 and verse 48, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. Someone may say, why is he giving us all these scriptures? Because I want you to realize that what I am saying to you tonight, you can find in your Bibles. And you can read these things for yourself. And if you are a Christian and you have not been faithful in your service to God, if you've not been faithful in your testimony, then you can repent and pray. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for spending a little time with me this evening. And it is my prayer that this lesson tonight has been beneficial to your spiritual lives and your relationship with the Lord. I pray God's continual blessings upon your lives. Good night, everybody.
You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy, Lord. We bless your name most high. Your worthy, Lord. Your worthy, Lord. Your worthy, Lord. We bless your name most high. Your name is above all names, forever with power you reign. We love you, Lord, we praise you, King Most High.
To What a Word from the Lord with your host, Stevie R. Butler, episode 12.